The last case of the morning is number 032450, the United States against Alvin Brown. Ms. Winslow.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. May it please the court, Alvin Brown was under arrest and in custody at the moment Officer Brown pulled his weapon and ordered him from his vehicle. Pardon me. This arrest was without probable cause and was in violation of Mr. Brown's right to be free of unreasonable searches and seizures under the Fourth Amendment. Now, contrary to the district court's findings, we do not believe, and it's our position as set forth in the brief, this was not an investigatory stop. But it is our position that even if this was an investigatory stop, the officers did not have sufficient information with which to make that stop at the time.
I'm confused, though, that you are equating the information received from Mr. Gill, certainly one who was involved in the same bank robbery and attempted bank robbery, with information that the police might get from some utterly random person who walks in off the street with no connection. Mr. Gill, who they've figured out a fair amount about, gives them information. That information's then corroborated. So I'm not sure that we should be relying on the utterly unrelated informant line of cases.
Your Honor, in this case, the nexus between Mr. Brown's location, Mr. Brown's position on a location on the other side of the bank from where the robber fled, and any criminal conduct is lacking. And the Supreme Court case...
Except that Mr. Gill, the co-defendant, says, or, you know, the co-suspect, I'll say, says that's where you're going to find him.
And the officers would have had an opportunity to follow up on that information. But instead of following up on that information, they placed Mr. Brown under arrest by pulling their weapon.
What do you mean follow up on that information? That's exactly what they're doing. They go over there and they think he might be dangerous. There is a report that a weapon was involved in these robberies. Who knows who had it at that point, one person or another. Aren't they doing exactly that? They're following up on it. It's the type of car. It's the... location?
In this case, the amount of force, the quantum of force exercised by the officers was tantamount to an arrest immediately.
Okay, suppose it was an arrest, though. Why do they not have probable cause to arrest him?
Because at the time, Officer Brown, recalling that Sergeant Long pulls up behind Mr. Brown where he's parked legally on a street, broad daylight, it's a public street, not particularly crowded, but a residential area. Sergeant Long pulls up alongside of Mr. Brown's vehicle in a marked Chicago police officer car. Mr. Brown makes no attempt to flee, makes no threatening gestures or suspicious movements. Then Officer Brown pulls up to another direction, and a Chicago Police Department tactical team pulls up from yet another direction. At this time, Officer Brown pulls his weapon and orders Mr. Brown out of the vehicle. At that time, the officers did not know that the individual they were ordering out of the vehicle at gunpoint was Alvin Brown. They did not even know the name of that individual. And, Your Honor, I would remind the court that the evidence in the record was clear that Sergeant Long had encountered another vehicle matching the description of that provided by Mr.
Do we know the license plate on that other vehicle?
No, Your Honor, but nor did Officer Brown know about the F in the license plate at the time he pulled his weapon and ordered Mr. Brown out of the vehicle. He learned that information later. And this court can only consider the information that Officer Brown had at the time he ordered Mr. Brown out of his vehicle. At that time, he had not overheard the radio reports about the F in the license plate. That was not in his thinking that this was the vehicle he was searching for. Moreover, Your Honor, Sergeant Long undisputedly testified, that Mr. Brown was under arrest at the time he was ordered out of the vehicle. Sergeant Long, the government's own witness, was clear that Mr. Brown was not free to leave, that no reasonable person would consider themselves free to leave when there are three marked Chicago police officers in various angles to their vehicle, and they've just been ordered out of their vehicle at gunpoint. This court has held over and over that officers do not have the ability, you can't pull a weapon in every case, unless there is some justifiable fear for personal safety. A weapon is beyond the quantum of force that can be used to effectuate a mere investigatory stop. There were no factors in this case which would have warranted the use of a weapon. As I said, Mr. Brown was parked legally on a residential street. It was in the daylight hours.
Well, they had a reason to believe he was a bank robber, didn't they?
Your Honor, they had a reason. They had information that he was not the bank robber, but a getaway driver. And but I would note that Mr. Dill, who was the individual who entered the bank, who confronted the teller and took money from her, that individual had just been arrested and determined to be unarmed.
So why does that mean the getaway driver is unarmed? Maybe they were both armed. I'm not sure, given the information they had at the time, they had any reason to believe this was a perfectly safe encounter.
I wouldn't suggest, Your Honor, that any arrest is a perfectly safe encounter, but this court has held repeatedly that that does not give officers a right to draw their weapons for a mere investigatory stop in every matter. The circumstances must...
But you agree they can sometimes.
If the circumstances...
It can still be an investigatory stop, if that matters. I mean, I put to one side whether it makes any difference in these facts, but they can sometimes.
If the circumstances of the case suggest a justifiable fear for personal safety, those circumstances just do not exist in this case. The officers had one very simple option. They could have ordered Mr. Brown verbally to leave his vehicle where they could see his hands. They chose not to do so. Instead, they exhibited a degree of force that took this encounter far beyond that which is acceptable in a limited investigatory stop. Mr. Brown was under arrest at the moment he was ordered to leave his vehicle. And at this time, as we stated, the officers lacked probable cause for this arrest. They did not know the identity of this individual. They did not know that the driver of that vehicle was Alvin Brown. They were acting
so... What would have been a reasonable thing for the police to do under these circumstances?
Your Honor, they could have simply asked Mr. Brown to exit his vehicle verbally.
After he's presumably the getaway driver after a bank robbery and...
Yes, Your Honor,
but... They're not investigating a traffic violation here. They're investigating a bank robbery.
That's correct, Your Honor, but recall that Sergeant Long, in a marked Chicago police officer vehicle, pulled up alongside of Mr. Brown's car, nearly in front of his car, where he could be seen. Mr. Brown made no attempt to flee. This is not a case in which a justifiable fear for personal safety would have warranted the use of force which was exercised by the police officer. Particularly acting on the limited information, pardon me, that they had at the time. They had information provided by an unknown, untested source. Now, this source had just been arrested, but the source had also provided false information to the police about his whereabouts, had tried to dispose of money, had tried to dispose of his disguise. They had no information about what was said to Mr. Dill to cause him to give this information, or even a full accounting of what it was that he said, other than the fact that he had a getaway driver. That getaway driver was parked, I will note, on the other side of the bank from the direction in which the actual robber fled, detracting somewhat from the reliability of the statement. There was no nexus to criminal conduct in this case. If you have no further questions, I'll reserve the balance of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Ms. Winslow. We'll hear now from Ms. Cannon.
Good afternoon. May it please the Court, Rachel Cannon on behalf of the United States. The government is respectfully requesting that this Court affirm the denial of defendant's motion to suppress. The District Court correctly concluded that officers had probable cause to arrest Alvin Brown.
So you're willing to take this on an arrest basis, not an investigatory stop basis?
Well, Your Honor, the government does submit that officers had probable cause to arrest Alvin Brown at the time they first approached him. However, both the officers testified, and it was implicit in the court's findings, that their initial approach was more along the lines of an investigatory stop or detention than a full-blown arrest.
But what if that seems not a very good fit with the facts, if all of a sudden a bevy of Chicago police officers descend upon you and it's rather clear you're not going anywhere without their permission, and at least one of them, according to your brief, has in fact drawn a weapon? Whether it's one or several is probably not terribly important. One is enough. Looks a lot like an arrest.
Well, Your Honor,
so I just want to make sure you're comfortable making your argument on the arrest basis, since Ms. Winslow's argument was very much that you couldn't show it satisfied the investigatory stop requirement.
We are comfortable making that argument, Your Honor, in light of a number of reasons. First of all, an attempted bank robbery and an actual bank robbery had occurred within approximately 30 minutes and 20 blocks of one another. The perpetrator of both of those crimes was arrested approximately 5 minutes before Alvin Brown was. He was arrested approximately one block east and one block north of the second bank that he robbed, and he was arrested after it was observed that he was dressed inappropriately for the weather conditions and that he had tossed a fistful of money inside of a residential screen door. Upon being arrested and confronted, he confessed to his involvement in these robberies and provided officers with a wealth of information about his accomplice, Alvin Brown.
What do you make of the fact that he ran out of the bank the wrong way?
Actually, Your Honor, we make of that fact that it further strengthens his reliability as an informant, because the odds are that since he went east, he never saw Alvin Brown, who was west of the bank, and therefore there was the odds are remote that he could have innocently ran by him, recognized him, and identified him as the accomplice getaway driver. There are a number of reasons why he could have ran east instead of running west. Perhaps he decided he didn't want to share the proceeds from the bank robbery and wanted to keep them himself, and that's why he went east. Or perhaps he was going to go on a circuitous route and eventually meet up with Alvin Brown to the west.
Was such a circuitous route evident?
Well, it actually wasn't that circuitous. I mean, both of these defendants were arrested approximately one block east and one block north in the case of Mr. Dill, and one block west and one block north in the case of Mr. Brown. So it's not terribly circuitous, but he was observed fleeing the bank in an eastward direction. He did discard his clothes in the McDonald's to the east of the bank. Perhaps then he wanted to go around west and meet up with Mr. Brown. Or again, perhaps he decided that he wasn't going to share the proceeds from the bank robbery and was just going to continue on his way east.
There was a warm McDonald's bag involved in this.
There was, Judge.
Yeah, who had the warm McDonald's bag?
The warm McDonald's bag was found in Alvin Brown's car. Of course, it wasn't determined to be warm until after the fact. When Officer Brown approached it, he testified that he saw the McDonald's bag and recalled that one of the offenders had run into the McDonald's after the robbery.
The other offender?
Correct.
So what's the connection?
Well, there's a couple connections.
How did he have the McDonald's bag get in the vehicle?
First of all, it links him in proximity to the location because the McDonald's is right there. Second of all, he could have stopped at the McDonald's beforehand, picked up a lunch, and that lunch could have been waiting for Mr. Dill when he eventually met up with him. It's hard to know exactly, but certainly there was a McDonald's bag in the car. Michael Dill had run into a McDonald's, and they were in very close proximity to McDonald's. The government would also submit that it was entirely reasonable for Officer Brown to approach the car with his gun drawn. He specifically testified that he thought that the individual in the car might be armed, that the individual in the car was moving around, and that he could not see his hands. In light of these observations of Officer Brown, and also in light of the fact that there was a potentially armed attempt bank robbery and a potentially armed actual bank robbery, it was reasonable for Officer Brown to approach the car with his gun drawn. Finally, the government would submit that information provided by one accomplice can support probable cause to arrest another accomplice in the event that information is sufficiently corroborated. In this case, Michael Dill provided information that revealed he had firsthand knowledge of the crime. He provided information that inculpated himself as well as Alvin Brown, thus suggesting that he was not trying to shunt off the blame for the crimes onto Alvin Brown. and he had an incentive to provide truthful information in light of the fact that he could have been confronted by police officers if he were found to be lying. In light of all these facts, the district court correctly concluded that there was probable cause to arrest Alvin Brown, and the government respectfully requests that you affirm the denial of defendant's motion to suppress. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kevin. Winslow, you have 2 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. The government seems somewhat willing to concede Mr. Brown was under arrest when the officers first approached his vehicle. Again, at that time, the officers had no independent corroboration that there was even a getaway vehicle used in this case. There was no independent witness that stated that they saw a getaway vehicle. the robber fled in the opposite direction of this vehicle, and the supposed getaway driver was found waiting in a location away from the bank in the opposite direction from where the robber fled 15 minutes after the robbery had been reported. Substantial period of time for a getaway driver to sit around and wait. Given these circumstances, there's no independent corroboration of the allegation of criminality. Such an independent corroboration is necessary in order for this court to find probable cause. The officers acted solely on the basis of information from an untested informant. That information bore no nexus to criminal conduct, and based on these facts, the officers could not have, in addition to the fact that they had no idea the individual they had ordered out of the vehicle was even Alvin Brown, based on these facts, the officers could not have had probable cause. We would ask that this court reverse the district court's decision and remand for further proceedings.
Thank you, counsel.
Thanks
to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement. That concludes this morning's calls. The court will rise until 9:30 tomorrow morning.